Father, we thank you that you've kept us, Lord, as you keep your wife, Lord, close to you. We thank you so much, Lord, for how that each day this relationship grows greater and we grow so much closer. And Lord, it seems so much more real. And Lord, it really is true that the world gets old. It gets so old. Lord, and you are so nice. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless the message tonight. You'll use it for your glory. It is your word, Lord. And may we understand not with our brains, Lord, but with our hearts, as you intended, as you said you would build your church, Lord, upon revelation. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. When I left on Sunday, I didn't think there was a part two. And but Sunday evening, I got to back in the study again. And I got to looking at some stuff in harvest time. And after I got to looking at it more and more, I kind of laid it down for a day or so and then got to looking at it again. And Brother Branham, if you look in that message, Harvest Time, from like paragraph 50-something to 80 or 100, somewhere in there, he keeps talking about how that God is in nature. And then he throws out the word parallels. God parallels nature. And then we know how many times he said that the spiritual, the natural types, the spiritual, over and over and over he said that. He said, he used the word always types the spiritual, over and over and over. And I thought, why is he doing that? You know, why is he spending so much time talking about this, talking about the natural type and the spiritual? And I'm not sure where that's going to go. But it got me looking at these other pieces in here. And it got me thinking about some of the things that we talked about on Sunday and how that they could be misunderstood very easily. And so I went back in and I thought, you know, how many times has Brother Branham said, and we've heard it, if you go through the message, you've heard it over and over and over and over, that you was always with God. You're a part of God. He says it over and over and over. You're eternal life because you was a part of God. He says it over and over. And then just as many times, if not more times, he says you must receive eternal life. You must receive the Holy Spirit. You must receive life. One minute he's saying you are life. You are eternal life. The next minute he's saying you have to receive it. So he's not... You know, we know it's the prophet. He's not saying stuff that is contradicting himself. So what is he talking about? You know, and I didn't know the answer to that. And I don't know. I can't even explain everything that I'm going to talk about tonight. But it's very close to the answer to that. And I'm not going to say anything that I don't know to be true. Absolutely the truth, but I'm going to point out what he said about it, and you put this with what was said on Sunday morning, and like I said, Sunday morning, I don't think there's a part three, but I don't know. I'll just let the Lord decide that when I get in the study. I have really come to rely on just letting him. It's his responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to show up in there because I told him I would do it. I told him I would stay in that study and I would minister till I die. I'll keep ministering. And so that's my responsibility. I told him I would do it. I've ran from it for years. I've ran from it. And I told him I wouldn't do it no more. I wasn't going to run anymore. And I felt like I said those things because he pushed me to say those things. And it wasn't Joshua stopping the sun, but it was stopping this son from running anymore. And he pushed me into the study. And every time I go in the study, there's a lot of times I go in there with a question. For some reason, I'll have a question on my mind. And I don't always get the answer, but I always get little pieces, you know. And sometimes I get the answer. And tonight, we're going to talk about some things and point out some things that he said. It's along those same lines is what we just talked about a while ago, about sometimes him saying you need to receive eternal life and other times him saying you are eternal life. You know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that? You know how many times Brother Bram said you was a thought, you was with God always, you know, that's eternal. You're eternal because you was with God. And then he turns right around and said you must receive the Holy Ghost. You must be born again. This must happen. If you're always that, why does that need to happen? How do those come together? What does it mean? And so maybe that's never been a question to you, but it's kind of nagged at me for a long time. And I shouldn't say nagged. It's kind of hung around and pushed me in certain directions at times. So I'm going to quit talking. And I have one quote that I'm going to add to this out of the rapture, but it's not till the very end, and I'll mention it then. So let's go back into harvest time, and let's point out where it seems like Brother Branham is double speaking again. God is sovereign. Who can tell God how to make things in the beginning? Who can tell him what to do and how he made Eden? Who can tell him how he should have done it better? Nobody. And he was sovereign. He done it exactly like he wanted to do it. He alone, see. And if we have eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. So I'm reading you one that I just talked about. So if we have eternal life, we were with God right then, a part of God. I mean, how many times you know he said that? A bunch of times in the scripture. It's there, a whole bunch of places. And that's what I call the message, the scripture. And I know y'all do too. And I'm so happy to call it my scripture. And that's God. So if we have eternal life, we were with God right then, a part of God. We were his attribute. We are now his attribute. We were his. So nothing changed. We were the attribute then. We're the attribute now. We are now his attribute. And because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is a thought expressed. So we were his thoughts, then expressed into Word, and became what we are. That's the reason our names, maybe not what we have now, but our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, because we have eternal life. See, and if it wasn't there then, it'll never be there. See, and Jesus come to redeem all those. Why does he need to redeem them if they're eternal? Now, this is borderline along what we talked about when we started Sunday morning. Remember how we talked about Sunday morning, how that God, your thought, and then he spoke. We talked about Adam being the spoken word seed of God, or spoken seed word. I can't remember how he said it. And then from that, he comes into existence. All right, so That's what this is talking about. It has to do with that. See, and if it wasn't there then, it'll never be there. Otherwise, you can't talk about you being eternal in one instance and in another instance not being eternal. He said you was the attribute then, you're the attribute now. Nothing changed. The attribute's still the attribute. The word is still the word. But something changed. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? Okay. All right. And if it wasn't there then, it'll never be there. See, and Jesus came to redeem all those that's whose names are on that book. He didn't come to redeem the book. He came to redeem the names that are on the book. See, he knowed. Now, this is paragraph 100. Now, let's go to the scripture to find out again, back up into the scripture, till we get our main text. In the garden, he gave his first family the word of God to live by, every word of it. The first family that was put here on the earth was given eternal life. Think about that. If you are eternal, why has he got to give it to you? You see my point that I'm making. That's the whole point that we're on right now. I don't want to go racing ahead and leave you, because this is Brother Branham's words. He's saying this. He's saying we were the attribute then, we're the attribute now. We were eternal then, we're still the attribute. But right here he's saying he gave them eternal life. Why'd he have to give it to them if they already were eternal life? There's a reason. There's a reason why he's saying things like this. Was given eternal life as long as they stayed with God's word. That was his plan. I am God, he says, I change not. That's still his plan. It's never his plan for creed or organization or man-made rules that man shall live by. So it was never anything that man was going to do that he was going to live by. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if man already lives, why does he need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Where do these two thoughts come together at? Now, to go back in Genesis, which is the beginning, Genesis means the beginning. We find that God gave his family eternal life. Now, I wanted to make sure you got that again. Why does he have to give them eternal life if they already have it? And why did Adam get created spirit in his image, and then when he breathed into him, he become a living soul? I've heard people say that's when he got his eternal life, right there. I've heard people say that. I'm not saying that. We find that God gave his family eternal life as long as they stayed in this word and lived by this word. So there's a stipulation. There's a stipulation on what God is going to express and what these people are just doing. But when they broke it, just one link in the chain of promises, death struck them, which was a promise also. So they had life, and as soon as they broke one of those words, death struck. As soon as they took something that was wrong, and Brother Branham said, he's going to talk about it here again in a minute, talk about if you break something in your soul, then it's death. Just one link in the chain of promises, death struck them, which was a promise also. So here we're talking about Adam standing here and Eve. And we know that Adam didn't start it all. We know Eve done it. But we also know that Adam sinned, because Brother Ram said he went and he took Eve back when he wasn't supposed to take her back. By doing that, he took the wrong thing into his life and killed himself. And Brother Branham said, he brought the fall to the whole world. Everything fell with Adam. So how in the world can a man be eternal and then all of a sudden he's not eternal? But yet the attribute is still eternal. See, this is what we were talking about. I don't want to do a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I'm sorry if that's what it's coming across as. But Brother Branham said we all started as a thought in the mind of God. Brother Branham said that God desired to be man, to express himself as man. And that desire, that thought to do that, translated him down to be Jesus Christ. Because he desired to do it, he spoke it and he acted upon it and he brought it to pass. And we can read all the Old Testament as it was coming to pass. And John was looking around to find a lion. And out from behind the curtains come a lamb. A lamb that had been slain since the foundation of the world. If we already have eternal life, and we're the attribute then and we're the attribute now, why do we need a lamb? We already have it. We was always a thought in God's mind. We're still a thought in God's mind. We didn't come out of God's mind. Why did we need a lamb? Then he saw a bloody lamb come out, and he come and took the book out of the right hand of him that called everything and called everything that was on that book. He called everybody's name that was on that book. It's the complete book of redemption. And this is it, the book of redemption. I'm not sure, but I would think he's probably holding up his Bible because many other times he did the same thing. The book of redemption. He redeemed all that was in that book. So somehow everybody in that book got lost somewhere and needed to be saved. Even though they didn't quit being an attribute, they didn't quit being a thought of God, they didn't quit being the spoken word. The seed was still there. But somehow, in some way, they were lost. He redeemed all was in the book. And out, not out of the book, anything that had a beginning has an end. So here, this is the book of redemption. And if you have your name in there, you never began. Isn't that interesting? If you got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, the book of redemption, you never began and you never ended. You'll never end. But if you got eternal life, you never did begin and you cannot end. Because you're sons and daughters of God, attributes of his thoughts and his word. You have no ending of life if your name is on that book. So if there's a man down here needing life, and yet there's a man on the book that don't need it. It is life. How are we going to get them two together? Somebody had to open that book in order to get it to us. You know what I'm saying? You have no ending of life if your name is on that book. The Lamb come to redeem it. Not all that professes Christians. Not all that try to live good and holy. See, it ain't nothing to do with the man. But those whose names are written on there, he redeemed that and that alone. Those names are on the book. Now, but then as many as received him to be their life. As many as received him to be their life. Remember what we said last Sunday? How that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is who? Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said he was the personification. He was the manifestation of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was exactly like God saw a man. When he said, I want to express myself as a man. Brother Branham said it was fulfilled in his life right there. And so by becoming the fulfillment of the thought and the word and being expressed before us, he became bread for us. He became the bread of life for us. He became that book of redemption. And remember what Brother Ram said, that when Jesus went to the cross, we were still in him. Brother Ram said he had never separated out the bride. We were still in him. As many as received him to be their life, eternal life, they lived by him. So we have eternal life. Whose is the life? It's God's life. It's Jesus Christ's life. It's a kinsman redeemer life. They lived by him, and he gave them power to become part of him. So there's some part of him that needs this life. There's some part of you that needs this life. And there's another part of you that is life. And he gave them power to become part of him. Sons of God. Is that right? They like the wild gourds. Death in the pottage. Now he's talking about people out here that won't take the truth. And he's talking about these ones that would take the truth. It was life. Like we just said, Jesus was bread to them. They like the wild gourds. Death in the pottage. From the school of theologians, they don't want Jesus, the bread of life. They don't want him. They put him out of their church. They got to do it. I don't care what they do. So they don't want him. But for some reason, that little woman at the well, she wanted him. Something in her wanted him. She didn't want the priest when he come by. She didn't want this one or that one when he come by. But when the bread come by, she desired the bread. They didn't want him. They put him out of the church. They've got to do it. I don't care what they do. You say, you think you're going to change it, Brother Branham? No, sir. But I'm speaking to the elected. He's making clear who he's talking to. He's not trying to talk to somebody who ain't going to listen. I'm talking to those that's going to listen. He's talking to the ones like the one, the little woman at the well. They put him out. Why? They took their pottage, mixed with the world, some theories of something, and mixed it together and made a theological seminary pottage. And they refused the prophet. Elijah's meal to cure it. And what did Brother Ram say Elijah's meal was? He said it was Christ. It was to cure this disconnection between you and God. Did they do it in that day? Elijah had some meal. That meal was Christ. The meal offering. All ground the same. Every burr had to be the same to grind it. And he throwed it in there, and it cured their sickness or their death in the pot. But today they got death in the pot, and they don't want Elijah's meal, Christ the bread. What's he talking about now? He's talking about the message for today. They don't want Elijah's meal, Christ the bread, the word. No, sir, it's heresy. Today they don't want it. If today they don't want it, then there has to be the bread here somewhere when this was going on. They don't have it. Go ahead and eat it, and you'll die as sure as the world. There's poison in that pot. They don't accept this meal, no sir, in their theological pots. He is directing that straight at the elect so that they know what's what. They just don't do it. Now they'll put you out of it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Now he's talking about the message. Plain and clear is what he's talking about. So not only was there bread back 2,000 years ago, but there's bread today. Brother Branham said he has the message for every day. And he said during the church ages, they were reflections. But it has to come back. During the church ages was Son of God, but it has to come back to Son of Man. The same thing is this. If you're a son of God and I am a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, we were in him germ form. So here comes the word. It was a thought. I'm going to express myself as man. Why did he want to express himself as man? He's going to share his life with man. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, then we were in him germ form. When he was crucified, we were crucified in his body. And when he arose from the dead, we rose with him. And now, since we have recognized it, now we sit together with him in heavenly places. Now that we recognized that we were in him. Now, how did that happen? Now we sit with him, together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, see? If we are sons and daughters of God, we are God's children, then we are attributes of God. Then we were God eternal life. He started to say were eternal life and then stopped and said got eternal life. And then he says, and God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in him from the beginning. And when Jesus became all that word, then we were a part of him. Then, amen, there you are. When that's in there, there's no devil. When you believe what he just told you, then there's no devil, no powers, no nothing can ever move it. That's the tie post of the soul. That word that he just told us about, that's the tie post of the soul. You can't be anointed out. You can be anointed out here in this spirit and desire and do all these other things. But when it comes to this tie post, to that word, you'll never move from there. If that tie post is anointed, you can't move. Remember when we talked about in the last service, how Brother Brown said that when you receive that token, it's right over that soul. You'll never move from there. It'll hold right, steady, and true to that word as it can be. Outside of that, regardless of what you do, you're still lost. The Laodicea church age, naked, blind, miserable, don't even know it. See, it's out. It's that anointed with the real spirit, see, the Holy Spirit, can fall upon a man in his spirit. But his soul is his germ. And what did he say the germ was a while ago? He said it was the word, right? That germ is the word. He just said it again, sorry. The soul is the germ. It's the word. And I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love, that's one of the inlets to the Spirit. I don't care how much you love, that's just one of the inlets to the Spirit. You can't love with your body, you love with your spirit. That's one of the inlets. And you can love and even love God with your spirit, but not with the soul. And even love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things and still not be right. Jesus said so. Said many will come in that day. The word settles it. Amen. Remember what we said Sunday, that when Adam fell, nothing happened to Adam's spoken word seed. It was still there. It just had not come to manifest yet. There's one seed, And that is the royal seed, Christ. And we saw it manifest. And everything else comes from that. I am the vine and you are the branches. That's what he said. The word of God is a thinking man's filter. Now he's going to say some of these same things. He's going to say them with the thinking man's filter. And it makes a righteous man's taste. We know that true. We know that true filters. We know that true. Filters all the sin of unbelief out. There's no more disbelief when you come through that filter, through the filter, because it is a true believer's taste. Now he's talking about taste. Now you think about taste. Think about the little woman's taste. She was living wrong, away from God, all that time. Didn't even know God at this point. But she had a predestinated seed in there, which was on the Lamb's Book of Life. Something had to happen. And so here she goes. Jesus walked, what did it say, 7 miles out of the way so he could talk to her. And his disciples stood over there on the side. He walked 7 miles out of the way to be the word in front of this little woman who had six husbands. Six husbands. And God become real to her and something come alive in her. He just don't want to say, well, I belong in the social ranks. I belong to the church, the biggest. He's talking about a true believer and what he don't do. For some reason, none of this will satisfy him. The true believer wants to be right regardless. He just don't want to say, well, I belong in the social ranks. I belong to the church, the biggest church in town. Can you hear? Can you feel that? I belong to the church, the biggest church in town. I don't care if it's a mission on the corner, if it's a Brush Harbor somewhere. A thinking man knows that he's got to meet God. No man can come to me unless my Father draws him. Father's drawing something to God. And regardless of what the church says or anybody else says, he's got to come on God's terms. And God's terms is God's word. There's his word. His word is his terms. That's the way you come. Well, they say God's word. And what did we say last Sunday? And I think the time, somewhere before that, without the Holy Spirit, you're blind to the word. You don't know it. Even though you got that spoken word original seed right there in you, that predestinated, you're blind to it without the Holy Spirit. Think about that. And what we've just been talking about. That Lamb's Book of Life. Unless you got that Lamb's Book of Life, you're blind to the Lamb. Even though you got that spoken word seed in you, that little woman walked around for a whole long time until she walked past life. It took life. Even though she had life, it took life. Even though she had that predestinated seed in her, it took life for her to come in contact with. And I'm not going to just say that. I got three places. I'm going to read it here in just a minute. Sure, all of them believe it's God's word. You can filter through it. But can you filter through it? In other words, like Brother Bram said, a drunkard will say he knows it's wrong to drink, but he still does it. So he can't filter through it. There's no desire in him to be what it says, don't drink. There's nothing in him that wants to not drink enough to stop. How you're going to, like the man a while ago who refused to go to the biggest church in town just because they don't believe it. How you're going to let a bob-haired woman come through there? How you going to do it? How are you going to let a man come through there that won't hold up for this doctrine? See, it ain't a thinking man's taste. There's something wrong with his taste. See, he's like the little woman that come in contact with the priest and thought it was all right. Because the priest eased his conscience and kissed the babies and had a big church and had sweet words. But a true Christian, that ain't going to work. It ain't a thinking man's taste, no. A thinking man will think twice before he jumps into something like that. Notice, that word cannot deny itself. The word can't deny itself. When the word that was in that woman come across the word, it couldn't deny it. There was no denying it. The priest didn't do a thing for her. There was nothing there. But when she come across the word, something started to happen. Then it was satisfied. Notice, the word cannot deny itself. Then it was satisfied. Or it's the desire of what? What made you desire it in the first place? You weren't desiring it before, but now you're desiring it. What made you desire it in the first place? Because down in your soul, there was a predestinated seed, which was eternal life. Always laying in there. Always in there. All that the Father has given me will come to me. That eternal predestinated seed that was in there, that's somebody that's been given to God. And he has to come. That's what it's like wrote on there, instructions. Has to come. When it comes across in front of the word, it's like magnetized to it. It has to come. There's no stopping it. But until that happens, nothing's going to happen. He's going to go right on living this world like he always has, or she always has. All that the Father has given me will come to me. There isn't any of them going to be lost. A thinking man's taste, when a thinking man hears the word of God, I thought he just said the thinking man was the word of God. Why does he need to hear it if he is it? I'm not arguing with him. I believe it's true. But I want you to think about what's being said. Okay? That's what I want you to think about. A thinking man's taste. When a thinking man hears the word of God, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. For down in there is life. And life connects with life. You see that? That life that's laying down in there, nothing's going to happen until that shed blood of the righteous one, until that manifested perfect one becomes bread to you. And it becomes bread manifested in the lives of God's people. They will not follow. But down in there is life. And life connects with life. You see the word? Having to receive the word? It's an odd way to say it, but that's what he's saying. It's what he's telling us. What did Brother Bram always talk about? The Chinese laundry, where they would rip the paper and the two pieces have to come back together. Until the two pieces come back together, there is no whole piece. Brother Bram said that God's not whole without you. He's hunting you. He's going to have you back. He's not whole without you. Think about that. Think he don't mean something? You don't mean something to him? A stranger they will not follow, for down in there is life, and life connects with life. Sin connects with sin, and sin is so hypocritical until it thinks that it's saved when it isn't saved. It's in the very depths of hypocrisy. Church members want a denominational filter so that they can have their own desire. You see that? They want something to say, I go to church, I'm a Christian now. Like what I was talking about, the seven women taking hold of one man so they can take his name and remove their shame. It's in the scripture. If that ain't what that is, I don't know what. Church members want a denominational filter so that they can have their own desire and still be classified religious people. You hear them say, oh, he's very religious. See, you can't say rock and roll is of God. Rock and roll is of the world. Any of those dances and nasty, filthy things, rather, is of the world. It's of the world. You can't say that bobbed hair for a woman is of God. The Bible says it's not. So it's the filth of the world. And if you love one speck of the world, the love of God is not even in you. See? What's that? Well, what's drawing it? What's drawing the world? Why is it doing that? It's something down on the inside drawing. Your soul is drawing your resource through the outside. Why is my soul drawing something? It's already eternal life. So why is it drawing something? The soul is drawing your resource through the outside and down through the spirit into the soul. It's drawing your resource. What is that resource? It's God's word. It's life. And if the soul loves the world, it's dead. I don't care how it's anointed. If it is out there and how righteous it is out here, down in here, it's dead. Down in that soul, it's dead because it's still wanting the things of the world. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in him, no matter how religious. You see that little woman? She just wanted the things of the world because she didn't know nothing else. She went from one husband to another husband to another husband to another husband. You think about the harlot. I don't know if I remember what her name was, but the one that come in and washed his feet. I don't know if they ever told her name. But how many days and years did she go by as a prostitute and made her money that way? And it never fazed her until one day she walked by and she saw him sitting there. Life. Bread changed something. It made her hate what she'd been. It made her take all the savings from what she'd had and go buy something for him. Give it all for him. The true filter that way will set all those things out and bring nothing but the trueness of God, the word, into the real true soul. It says the soul is the word. We just read that a while ago. It said the germ, spoken seed, original seed, is the germ. It's the word. But for some reason, it still had to receive the word. But the trueness of God, the word, into the real true soul. Leave the world's denomination, religious pack. Let it lay like that pack of cigarettes in the woods. God's drawing. He's drawing. If there's seed there, he's drawing. Every time we come together, he's drawing. Let it rot and decay. It's a wrong filter. And take the word, which is Christ, that gives and reaches and preserves the taste of eternal life to everyone that will take it, eternal life. He just got through saying what you had down in you was eternal life, but now you're receiving eternal life too. And while ago we read, life contacts life. The word, if you're predestinated, you see it. There's no way to hide it from you. You look there and say, you know, when the word, see, it took the word first, though. Like we just said about the little woman and the prostitute and the different ones. You look there and you say, why? It's just so plain before your face. I'd look at it. There it is. I'm looking right at it. I see it. Here it is, the word. Every word, just word by word, living out. How do you know that's the word that you see? That's God drawing his people to him. Then there's a taste of eternal life that you want. There's a taste of eternal life that you want. And when you breathe through that, you breathe through this bread of life, that you can come through that, God's filter, nothing but the Spirit, no world at all, no unbelief at all. It's God's filter. And when you breathe through that, nothing can get through that but the Holy Ghost. What was breathing a while ago? You had a taste. Something happened to your taste when you come in contact with the Word. That nothing can get through that but the Holy Ghost. When you got the Word, when she come in front of the Word, nothing was going to come out of his mouth. None of his actions he made, nothing he done was not going to be the Word. She found it. And when she said, we're supposed to have a prophet, he said, I am he. It didn't take no more convincing. It was done. How you got the evidence of the Holy Ghost? See, a holy man or a woman's taste, they want to live. They got eternal life. And because this word is quickened to them, they had the word in them, but something still has to be quickened to them. Because this word is quickened to them, they live. A thinking man's filter and a holy man's taste. Don't take the world like them cigarette companies under a deception, but take the real thinking man's filter. Filter the breath that you breathe, the food that you eat, everything that you are, breathe it through God's word, and you'll have a holy man's taste. For it will produce that. It will produce this holy man's taste. She didn't have a holy woman's taste before that happened to her there at the well. For it will produce that. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know whether we are or whether we are not, I believe that we are. But if we are not, there's somebody in the world today that's part of the body of Christ. And it will live only by the word of God. That someone that's part of the body of Christ will only live by the word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God for this age that we're living in now. Wherever that person is that is the word, the only way they're going to live is by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God in this age. Because this age is the same God from the first, the one who laid down his life. The Son of Man there, the Son of Man here. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God for this age that we're living in now. And I can't see where denomination, those words so plainly in the Bible said it would happen, and the things that would be, and here we are living right in it now. I can't see where it could be anything else but this. Church, I realize I've got to stand with you in the judgment someday. Far be it from me to ever tell you anything wrong for popularity. I don't want that. If I had my desire, I'd take my rifle and go to the woods and build a cabin and trap the rest of my life. I'm getting old, tired, weary, and broke down, but I can't quit. There's something in me grinding. Woe unto me if I don't tell the truth and the whole truth. Woe unto me if I don't stand here till the last breath of body has left me. I must stand, regardless of what anyone else says. I'm responsible before God. And we're each one of us responsible before God for what he's given us. I truly believe that the things that we're preaching is the truth. Not because it's me preaching it. No, my brother. No, sir. God knows my heart. How I would like to sit out in the congregation and listen to the anointed preach. How much easier it would be on me. Certainly, because I'd have eternal life the same as the man in the pulpit. I'm a part of the same as he is. I'd go to the same heaven, have the same privileges. How easy it would be for me to sit out there and not take all these bruises and beats and carry on. And brother, he didn't even brush the edge of what that man went through. The stuff that was being said and the things that was being done. How easy it would be for out the other night with no sleep, an hour and a half or 2 hours, wrestling all night with things that come up. How easy for me to do that, take up my gun the next morning, my fishing rod, and go fishing or hunting. How easy it would be. But brother, it fell my lot. And as much as I feel for him, I'm so glad Brother Branham was there and God had somebody that was willing to stake. May God help me to never shun my post of duty, but to stand loyal and true. He's going to stand loyal and true, and what's he going to do? And produce to you a thinking man's filter that will give you a holy man's taste. Remember we talked about Jesus, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, where he walked past the word, it came alive. You think about it, he walked past Peter and said, Peter, come on, follow me. Didn't stop, didn't explain nothing, didn't do anything, said, come on, follow me. And Peter just stopped what he was doing and followed him. You think about that. The thinking man filter is the waters. He said he was going to produce to us the thinking man's filter that'll give us a holy man's taste. The thinking man filter is the waters of separation. That's what's going to give us a holy man's taste. It's the purification from sin, which is the word of God. That's what's going to give us the holy man's taste. And the thinking man, the man that knows he's got to stand before God, knows he's got to answer for every word of the Bible, it'll satisfy that taste that's in your heart. See the two sides here? Both of them God. There's a taste in this man's heart that he didn't put there. And there's something to quench that taste. Both of them God. It'll satisfy that taste that's in your heart. And when it satisfies it, what does it do? It gives him a holy man's taste. May God help us to receive it as we bow our heads. Who is this Melchizedek? Like you women claiming you got Holy Ghost and going out here and wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? If you got the thinking man's filter, the holy man's taste, how could you desire those things? That's what he's saying. How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly, it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And when you become subject to that Spirit, now listen close. When you become subject to that Spirit, now, Brother Branham has told us in multiple places that when we get a new soul, we become subject to that new soul. Is that right? So he's not introducing something new here. He's still talking about the same thing. When you become subject to that Spirit, It throws your whole being subject to that spirit. What spirit is he talking about? And that spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest. Not just the seed word, it's the seed word made manifest. That's the spirit that you're subject to. Or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. The seed word has to be made alive. And we heard what makes it alive. He produced a holy, thinking man's filter to us, which was the word, which is the bread of life. This seed word made manifest or quickened, hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, the body quickly turns to it because we're subject to that spirit that's born in us, that's quickened and made alive in us. There is no question of what it is. It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. It was once subject to something else until it come past the word, and then it became subject to God. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. Now I had one more quote I wanted to read here, and I'm going to let y'all out early, I guess. This is in the rapture, and it's paragraph 93. I'm sorry, it's so small. I'm having a hard time here, so let me back up. Paragraph 93 in the rapture. Then how are we going to get into this body? 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit, we're all baptized into this body. By one Holy Spirit. That if you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And by one Spirit, we are all baptized. And the Spirit is the life of Christ. Is that right? The life of Christ. And the life of any seed. Now listen, he's just talking about the life of Christ. Now he's talking about the life of a seed. Which he was the word seed, brings the seed to life. The word seed brings the seed to life. Brother Branham said that Jesus was that. He was the word seed, brings the seed to life. You get it? If that life is laying in the seed and the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, it brings that seed life. It's bound to bring that seed life. So I said I'd read it to you three different places where he just got through saying this seed has life in it, but it still has to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how that has to be. But that's three different times. And I think if you look close, there's a fourth one in there. And I haven't even combed the message for it. I just have looked here in the last few weeks. But I hope that maybe helps a little bit about what I was saying about Adam there being the spoken word seed, but not being manifest yet, because it took the bread of life. It took every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God to do that. Adam couldn't do it on his own. I read that several different places tonight. It has nothing to do with men and what they can do. And that's the only thing that Adam had was his own. It was all on him. Brother Branham said he made it, put him on an equal basis with God. God put it on him to make his decision. And he says in several different places, Adam made his decision. Adam did it. God didn't do it. Adam done it. And so when we get this, could you imagine us? Brother Ram said, when you're born again in this day, the womb is shut. There's no undoing it. There's no changing it. The only thing coming from there is the life of God, period. And so just some things to think at, on and look at. Okay, so that's his word. He said those things. And if I said something he didn't say tonight, then you just ignore that. Just take what he said. I'm just pointing out what he said. So I love y'all. And like I said, I don't do this for me. I do this for y'all. I do it because I feel like he wants me to do it. And when I left the church, I intended to sit at home and talk to Katrina as long as it took, you know, for years. That's what I never thought about this. I didn't think about this happening. And I'm not the only one speaking here, but what I'm saying is that I never thought about speaking to anybody else but her. That's all I'm saying. And I love y'all. And I know y'all all want the word because I believe y'all are predestinated seed. And every time we come in contact with it, we're drawn to it. It's magnet to us. We can't get away from it. We love it. And we ask if you'll stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, your word, Lord, is so good. It's so rich, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, we just have to say what it says and then just dwell in it, Lord, and let you bring it to pass so that we might know exactly what it all means, Lord. When we look at the prophet's life, Lord, and we read through these messages and we see your truth taking place in his life, we see you making a man born in sin. You made him bread in this day. Brother Branham said that we're Messiahs. We're bread to everywhere we go, Lord. That's why it's so important not to make false claims or to be making false statements about the word or anything like that, Lord, but to just stay still until you want to speak and what you want to say, and that's it. And then, Lord, just be happy and satisfied. I can't think of a time in my life I've been more happy and satisfied than right now. And I'm so thankful to you, Lord, that you've made these words in this life of the word stand out to us. May you carry us through the days that are ahead, Lord, and just draw us closer to you. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Michael.